Hi, I'm Sonia. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, welcome to the Valley Group speaker meeting. Happy New Year's. Hey! All right, so we've got a real treat for everybody. We have our very own Natasha from Visalia with 11 months, 16 days. She's just 14 days shy of 1 year. Yeah. So I got the opportunity to ask her some questions, and I asked her what her secret to sobriety is, and she said, the circle and triangle. And then she looked it up on her phone to see what it meant. I love you. but she said, so the circle and the triangle is the unity, the service, and the recovery aspect. And she said that working the 12 steps and getting a sponsor is crucial to sobriety. I asked her what some of her obstacles were in terms of her recovery journey, and she said being honest with herself was the hardest part, and that she had been in and out of this program before, and she didn't have a choice but to work the 12 steps this time around, and that's where she found that success in her journey. She is a person of service. I'm sure you guys have seen her secretarying the Alano Club meetings. She's also on the committee for TEFIPA, which is Tulare United Fresno Young Peoples of Alcoholics Anonymous. She sponsors three women. And I asked her, how does service work affect your recovery? And she said, it helps me feel good every day. It's one of the major things that keeps her sober today. Advice for the newcomer, she said, read the book or die. And that's it. I love it. Very Tasha thing to say. And then I wrote down a quote that she said that really stuck with me personally. And she said, never look down on an alcoholic unless we're picking them up. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our speaker, our wonderful speaker, Natasha from Visalia. Yeah.
I'm Natasha and I'm an alcoholic. Man, I'm really nervous, guys. first, I want to say thank you to Bill for having me speak here. It's an honor to speak here, honestly. It really is. Wow, I'm really nervous, so bear with me. I'm really nervous. I've been out this program since 2012. And I don't know about you guys, but working this program this time, I found a new me, you know, and let's start at the beginning. Growing up as a kid, I never was comfortable in my own skin. I don't know about you guys, but I was never comfortable in my own skin. Even with my family, with friends, you know, so growing up was a challenge, you know. But I always had my brothers and sisters there with me, but it was always a challenge. Growing up, I'd always sneak drinks from my uncles or whatever. We would sneak drinks and run off and drink, you know. And in my teenage years, I was a horrible teenager. Mind you, I was a horrible teenager. Always running away. Drugs were part of my story, so I did those a lot. And it was really a real struggle. What really was a struggle for me. In 2012, I got pregnant with my twins. And when I found out I was pregnant, I was about 2 weeks pregnant, and I was using and drinking a lot. And I decided I wasn't going to go to the doctor because they're going to tell me to stop. And I didn't want to stop. So I just continued using and drinking throughout my pregnancy and had a lot of complications. And at 31 weeks, I had my children premature, and I had preeclampsia, and I died on the table. And through that, after I had my children, had my twins, they're born, and they had a lot of complications. They're addicted to drugs and alcohol when they were born. They're in the hospital for about a month and a half. I was in the hospital for quite a while. And I told myself, when I get out, I'm not going to do it. You know, that was I'm the stigma. I'm not going to do it. You know, look what I've done to my kids. I'm not going to do it. And CVS got involved, and I was like, F them. What are they doing to me? You know, and I was so angry, you know, and then they let me take my kids home. Can you believe that? They let me take my kids home. So I took them home. to my drug house, and I continued on my little journey, you know. And CLBS would have me go to meetings, go to New Heights and other things, and I tried every way possible to dupe them, in a sense. You know, I would call on days when I was testing, and I'm not testing today to get high and get drunk as I can, you know. And I would do that, and I would do that, and until it got to the point where I couldn't do that no more. You know, and they tested me on a wrong day, you know, and I came up dirty. So they detained all my children. I have 6 kids. They detained them all. And when they had taken them, I was like, oh, what are you doing? You know, there was cops everywhere. They had it all, you know, and they took them all. You know, I was like, and then for about, I would say, 6 months, I was just out there doing my thing. I hardly went to visits. It wasn't that I didn't care. It was the drugs and alcohol were more for me, you know. I was in that, you know. So that's when my drinking really took off. It really took off. And I went to court, and the judge told me, you need to get this right, or we're going to detain your children. So I went to Mothering Heights. And when I went to Mothering Heights, to get my kids back. It wasn't for me. Definitely not for me. And I did my 6 months in Mothering Heights. And when I got out, I continued drinking on the sly, you know. And I had my sponsor, which is my drive-by sponsor. Hey, that's my sponsor right there, you know. And they're like, what step you're on? I'm like, 4. You know, I never worked any of the steps. I just lied my butt off, you know. And I would go to aftercare and just spew all this stuff that I heard other people saying and whatever felt right that day, you know. And and I skated through that, and I got my certificate. And I remember it so clearly. The day I got my certificate, I was going back to my new house. I just got my 4-bedroom house that was through Section 8. Was $8 a month, mind you. And in my new car, with all my kids I just got custody of, and before I got home, I went to the store and I got me a bottle. And I'm celebrating. I got my certificate. I was showing all my friends, look, I got my certificate. I'm going to celebrate. And I just got drunk, you know, and I just continued doing that. Even though I got my kids back, and my daughter told me one day, she said, Mom, why don't you just stop? And I was like, I'll stop tomorrow. You know, that was my main thing. I'll stop tomorrow. And I don't care how many times I told my children or my mom or my family members or whoever was concerned, I was going to stop. So I was blue in my face. I was going to stop. I would do it, you know. And I continued on doing that, and I ended up losing my house, and thankfully I still had my kids, but I lost my house, and I was living from hotel to hotel, lying to the welfare, getting the checks from the welfare so I can go to the hotel. And in my alcoholic mind, I thought, you know, I'm going to keep my older kids out of this, so Mom, can you take my older kids, and I'll just have the little ones, you know, they're not going to remember it, and they won't remember it, you know. So I just drug my kids from hotel to hotel, living in our car, and I thought it was okay. You know, I thought it was okay, even though I had people who loved me and was telling me other ways. I thought it was, that's, you know, it's all right. You know, no one's living, it's all right. And then I did that for quite a while, about a year or so. And then one day my brother, God rest his, my brother, he's awesome, he came to me, he said, you know, what are you going to do with your life? And I said, I'm living my life. He says, yeah, no, you're not. What are you going to do with your life? And I had no answer. I had absolutely no answer. You know, all I knew was drugs and alcohol. So I absolutely had no answer to that. And I was like, you know what, just come live with me. Come with kids, come live with me. And I just don't want you using or drinking in my house, and you can come live with me. So I was like, all right, brother, I can definitely do that. I can definitely do that. So I went to his house, and I started living with him. And for the first week or so, I did great. You know what I mean? For the first week, I did great, you know. I was like, yeah, I did it. I did it. Went to the store and got me a drink, you know, because I did it for that week, you know what I mean? I could never put more than a week, 2 weeks, maybe a month together, you know, at a time. And then he came to one point, he's like, you know what, I'm going to start testing you. I don't believe you. I'm like, oh, don't have to test me, brother. I promise, I'm sober. And he's like, I don't believe you. I was like, I'll start going to meetings. You know, I'll start going to meetings. You don't believe me. He's like, all right, we'll give you another chance, start going to meetings. So I was like, okay, I'm going to meeting, brother. And I would go, and I'd spook that little corner, and I would go to the store, and I'd go just drink my butt off until that hour. And then in my mind, I would drink, and then I would be feeling it, and I would smoke some dope so I wouldn't be so drunk. So when I got home, I wasn't so wobbly, you know what I mean? And I did that for quite a while as well, until it got to the point where I was like, you know what, we're testing you. He tested me, I tested dirty, and he just throws all my stuff in a bag, and he's like, get out. I was like, what are you going to just throw me and my kids out? And, you know, and I'm crying, and I'm so upset. He's like, I love you, so get out. And it was awful, you know. And of course, I thought my whole life was crashing down around me, you know what I mean? What am I going to do? I don't even have a car to live in anymore. You know, what am I going to do? I've already used up welfare as much as I could. What am I going to do? It's all right. You got one option. You can stay here and not leave. You can't go anywhere by yourself unless it's with me and my wife. And I'm like, I'm older than you. You're my little brother. What the hell? You're not going to tell me. So if you want to live here, that's what you're going to do. So, of course, I agreed. And I actually started attending meetings, actually attending them at the Alano. And I sat in the back, you know, and just hid my little head, you know. I'm here, but I'm not present. You don't see me. And I continue to drink a little, you know, here and there. And then it got to the point where I was broken and tired of living that way, you know. Thing in my mind, hey, why don't you just call New Heights and get yourself set up? And I see my brother's couch, just got home from a meeting, and I'm fired up about this meeting, you know what I mean? And I'm like, the meeting was so good, brother. He's all, yeah. I was like, yeah. I was like, I think I'm going to call New Heights and get in the program. He's all, yeah, do that. I was like, what'd I say? Oh, crap. What did I get myself into? He's all, do it right now. And I was like, oh, crap, I guess I will. So I got on the phone, I called New Heights, I set myself up, and he had me on speakerphone, and they got the date right. My sister-in-law took me to go for my assessment and stuff, and they're like, I think we're going to put you in New Visions. And I'm like, all right, sure, okay. You know, whatever. Just to appease my brother, I'm going to do it. You know, and she's like, okay, we'll call you. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm thinking all of you months down the road. There's so many other women ahead of me. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was my thinking, you know. And about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks later, I was at that point where I was like, you know, I need to drink. You know, how am I going to get out of this house to get this drink? How am I going to get out of this house? And my kids are getting ready to go to school. And I was able to walk my little ones to school because it was right across the street. He watched me the whole time like a hawk. Believe that. And so I walked my kids across the street. I came back. So I'm going to walk Andreas to school. He's in Redwood. And I'm going to walk him to school. And he's like, no, you're not. I was like, yeah, I am. He's like, no, you're not. I was like, I'm going to walk my kids to school, dude. He's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, yes, I am. You know what I mean? We got a little argument about it. And then finally, I didn't go. You know what I mean? So I stayed there. And I was so angry and so mad. And I went in the backyard. And I'm kicking stuff around. And I'm yelling and cussing. And I'm thinking, you know, my brother just drove off to go to work. And I'm thinking, I could jump this fence and get to that store in about 5 seconds. Because I know I got wheels. And I can make it there before anybody notices. And right before I was going to do it, my phone rings. So I answer my phone. And it's New Heights. It's New Heights. They're like, hey, we got a bed ready for you. Come on down. Be here by 3 o'clock. And I'm like, So I go inside. I'm like, they got a bed ready for me, but they want me to be there by 3 o'clock. And I know I've got 6 kids. You got 6 kids. And I know that's not possible right now. So I'm just letting you know, they called me and I told them it's not possible. And she's like, oh, it's possible. And I'm like, how's that? How are you going to take care of 12 kids? You know, you can't do that. And she's like, we'll see. So she goes in the back of the house and she calls my brother. My brother being my brother, he comes home from work. And he's like, all right, let's go. And I'm like, what are you even doing here? You're supposed to be at work. And he's like, no, we're going. And I'm like, well, how are you going to take care of all these kids and your kids? And he has a son who's very sick, and he goes to San Francisco a lot. And I'm like, what if Ezra gets sick, you know? Any excuse, you know? And what if Ezra gets sick, and what are you going to do with all these kids, you know? Mom can't help you. She's old. What are you going to do, you know? And he's like, you know what? We'll figure it out. Get your stuff ready. You're going. And I'm like, no, I'm not going. And I sat down, like, I'm not going. He's all right. You think you're not going? He went and got a pillowcase and just threw all my stuff in there. You know, and he's like, get in the car. You're going. And I remember that so vividly. I was like, oh, no, I don't want to do this. And I get in the car, and they drop me off in New Visions, and they hug me and tell me they love me. And I'm like, I hate you. And I'm like, I hate you. You're ruining my life. You know, I was so angry. I was so angry. And there's some of the New Visions girls I was here with, and they know. When I walked into that place, man, I wanted to blow it up. I was so mad. I did not want to be there. That was not on my list. You know, I wanted to drink and I wanted to use, and you couldn't do that there. So so I started my stay at New Visions, and a couple weeks into it, I noticed all the other girls, and I noticed how they had sponsors, and they're working the steps, and they're working the program, and it's working in their lives, you know. And I said, you know what? There's no other way. I might as well try it. So I got me a sponsor who I love. She's freaking amazing. It's Mandy. I'm pretty sure you guys know her. She's pretty awesome. And I heard her speak when I was like, you know what? Yeah, she's it. So I asked her to be my sponsor. And she's like, all right, let's dive right in. And she's so excited. And I'm like, I'm just going, we're going to get you a big book, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so scared, you know, and I felt like a little kid, you know. I was terrified. And after starting to work with her, I started realizing that this is the only way I'm going to get out of this, you know what I mean? Back up a little bit. After I had left Mothering Heights, I was still drinking and using, I thought, on the sly, but of course it wasn't. Everybody knew, but I acted like no one knew, but everybody knew. And I had a heart attack and a stroke, and I ended up with a pacemaker due to my addictions. And I remember waking up in the hospital from the pacemaker. I don't even remember going there. I just remember sitting down at my uncle's and telling him I wasn't feeling good, and then wake up in the hospital a day later. And I'm like, well, what's this? You know what I mean? Well, what's this right here? Why do we have this? You know, and the doctor's like, it's a pacemaker. And I'm like, that's for old people. Why the hell you put that in? Why do I got a pacemaker? He's like, your heart's damaged, and it won't beat on its own. And, you know, that should have been the bottom for me, you know what I mean? But it wasn't. All I could think about was that drink. Sitting in that hospital bed was that drink, you know? And I even called a couple friends, and they brought me some drinks, you know? And I wasn't ready, you know what I mean? And even today, you know, this pacemaker really sucks, but it's a reminder of what's out there for me, you know? It's a major reminder of what's out there for me. Early in my sobriety this time, because I'm a retread, if you want to say, early in, I didn't want to do it, of course, but as I started to work the steps and started to peel back the onion, I guess you would say, I realized what a horrible person I was, you know, selfish, dishonest, all those things, you know, and like Sonia said, being honest with myself was a big thing for me. That was a big hurdle for me because I didn't like to be honest with myself, you know. I didn't like to see who I was, you know what I mean? And that was a major thing for me. So when I got honest with myself, everything else just flew, you know, and it just flowed. You know what I mean? And just seeing other people in the rooms and seeing them grow, I wanted that so bad. And now I got it. It feels freaking good. You know, I go to a lot of meetings, and I'm on a couple committees, one here in Tuffy Paw. I love Tuffy Paw. Thank you guys for showing up. And today I read the Daily Reflections at my meeting earlier, and it really hit for me, so I'm going to read it. I am a miracle. The central fact of our lives today is absolute sincerity that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us, which we can never do for ourselves. This is truly a fact in my life today, and a real miracle. I always believed in God, but could never put the belief meaningfully in my life. Today, because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I now trust and rely on God as I understand Him. I am sober today because of that. And learning to trust and rely on God was something I could never have done alone. I now believe in miracles because I am one. And that sits home for me because, sorry, because I'm truly a miracle, you know, and I mean, I've brushed death so many times, and for some reason, God has brought me back, you know, and I'm grateful for that today. Today, I'm a mother, an aunt, a sister, all those things I always wished I could be, you know, and this book right here, Read It or Die, guys, it's serious, and there's a couple things in here I marked. And it really like just stood out to me. Most of us have been unwilling to admit we're real alcoholics, and that stood out to me because coming into this program, I'm like, I'm an addict, I'm an alcoholic, you know, that's not a problem for me. But now I realize I am an alcoholic, you know. Growing up, I never wanted to be an alcoholic like my father, my real father. He's an alcoholic. He left us, and, you know, he's still an alcoholic. My uncles and everything are alcoholics, and I always told myself I'm never going to be an alcoholic, you know. And now I realize today I am an alcoholic, and because of that realization, I'm learning to become a good person, you know, and in this program and just in general. And that one really just set out to me. And the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted, selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He is like the farmer who came up out of his cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Do you see anything the matter here, Ma? Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing?" "Yes, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead." And that one stood out to me because I was like a tornado in my life, you know, and not only my life and the lives of others, you know, and the lives of many people. I didn't realize how many people I was hurting, you know, but now that I'm sober, I realize that I was hurting so many people. And I aspire today to not do that, you know, and like she said, one of the biggest quotes for me is never look down on an alcoholic unless you're picking them up. And that rings really true in my life today. I'm grateful to be able to help the next alcoholic, and I actually got my first AA call a couple weeks ago, you know. Someone I post on Facebook, "Hey, we have someone who needs a home just for a couple days so she can get back to her hometown to go to rehab." And I wasn't able to house her, but another family was. And her boyfriend got out of jail, and he didn't have nowhere to go for the day, so I picked him up and we hung out with him for the day. We took him to a couple meetings. We ate with him. We talked with him. I am getting him a book. I gave him my welcome chip, and we put him on the bus to Oregon. And I video chat and talk to them today, and they're in rehab, and they're doing really good, and that felt really good. You know, that felt really good, and that's what this program is about, you know. Not only is it about the 12 steps and getting a sponsor, it's about helping the next alcoholic. That's what we aspire to do here today, you know. You know, I was scared to be a sponsor, you know, when my sponsor's like, you ready to sponsor? I was like, no, not me. Not this messed up mug. You know, not me. I'm not ready to do that, you know. But as I go first doing that, it gives me relief, you know. It gives me relief, and it helps me. Even when I'm struggling, I call my sponsees, and they help me, you know what I mean? Life's amazing today. Amazing. And we are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship and a friendliness and understanding that this is incredibly wonderful. You know, when I first started coming to the meetings, I thought, I'll never be like those guys, you know. I'll never carry that book around and read out of that thing, you know. That's not going to be me, you know. I thought, you know, I'm just going to get what I got. I'm going to get whatever I can, put it in my little box, and I'm going to take off, you know, because that definitely worked for me in the past, you know, not. And that's what I did so many times, and I figured, you know, I've tried, you know, what alcoholic they talk about in chapter 3? That's me. You know, that's me. I've tried every way imaginable to keep sober on my own, on his will, her will, your will, whatever. You know, and only thing I found to have worked is the 12 steps and getting a sponsor and just diving into this program. What else am I talking about? Okay. And being of service is a major thing, you guys. I can't express that too much. Being of service, and you know, is saved my butt so many times. I remember also saying too, I'll never be a secretary at the Alano Club. You know, never do that, and I love it. You know, I gave up my position months ago, but a friend had surgery and he needed someone to cover his position for a while, so I stepped up because that's what we do today. You know. I'm on a couple committees. I'm on the Telepaw committee, which I love so much. There's so many loving people in that committee. And I've learned that you can live life sober and be happy and have fun. You know, this New Year's has been the first New Year's I can remember in so long. It's not even funny. Literally, it's not even funny. I didn't wake up with a hangover, guys. That's a plus. I woke up my back and feet hurting because I was dancing my butt off, but that's about it. I had so much fun here last night, you know, ringing the New Year with my friends, you know, and what you find here is long-lasting friendships here, and that's the truth, you know. I can rely on people today, and they can rely on me, and that's because I'm working the steps and doing what's suggested of me. All those dumb sayings you hear in meetings and all those corny things you hear people say, they're true, guys. Believe me, they're true. You know, jails and sushis and death. I mean, I've never been to jail, but I don't want to try it. And, you know, and I've knocked on death's door, and I don't want to do it. You know, I have a lot to live for today. I was a little nervous coming, you know. I was real nervous on just being able to give a message, you know, of depth and weight, you know what I mean? And And I was just, I've been kind of putting it in the back of my mind. He asked me a long time ago, and I've been putting it back there like, you're going to deal with that later, you know? And it came to, oh my God, it's tomorrow. Oh my God, it's today. Oh my God, it's in an hour, you know? And I do what a lot of friends and a sponsor told me to do, just pray, you know? And that's what I did. I can't wait to get that year chip, you guys. Oh, I can't wait. It's right around that corner, and it's like, it would taste so good. You know, I put in a lot of work, you know what I mean? I've changed a lot in this program. I've changed a lot. I could look at my brother today and tell him the truth, and that's pretty amazing. I don't know. Me and my brother are really close. He's kind of like an older brother. I call him my big little brother. I called him before I came, and he's like, quit tripping. You got this, you know. And he's, I'm going to go in the back. I'm glad he's not here. I'm glad he's not here. But I have a lot of support, and it feels really good. It just feels really good to be a part of this AA thing that I never thought I'd be a part of, you know. I always thought I'm never going to do this, you know. And I'm coming to realize I'm going to be here for life, you guys. I'm going to be here till I'm old, and I'm okay with it, you know. Before, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be in these chairs talking about I got 30 years, 40 years. Not going to happen. But you know what? I am, you know. I don't want to go the other way. I don't. There's nothing there for me but death. I know that. And I'm not ready to die today. Not at all. I'm almost there. I'm so nervous. Life's amazing today, and that's because of the steps and getting a sponsor and just doing the do. You know what I mean? Doing the do. And I see a lot of faces I know. A lot of faces I know, and I love you guys, and I hope you guys, and I'm going to love you till you love yourselves, you know what I mean? That's one thing that people have told me, and it stuck with me. I'm going to love you till you love yourself, and it stuck with me. And one thing I always tell my sponsees and anybody who ever asks me is, read the black parts. A wise man told me that. Read the black parts, you know what I mean? And I stick to the winners here in this program, you know what I mean? And make suggestions for you guys. Stick to the winners. You know what I mean? Stick with the winners because they'll take you all the way. You know, be of service and get a sponsor and work your steps and all those big things. And get a chip when it's time to get your chip, you guys. That's a big thing. It's a really big thing to get that chip. I really don't have much else to say, but I'm really honored to be here. That's all I got. The judge told me that I would never see my kids again. I would never get my children back again. And to kiss them goodbye, basically. And I got my children back, all of them. Even when I didn't deserve it.
How?
How did I get them back? By the grace of God. how to get them back? I worked a program, I guess. I didn't work it to the full of my ability because then I wasn't working my steps. I didn't have a sponsor. But I got into the program, and I did everything they suggested of me. If you have a CWS case, do whatever they suggest of you because they're not playing. Yeah. They're not playing. If they tell you to jump through a hoop five times, jump through that motherfucking hoop five times. And that's the truth. You do exactly what they say, and you will get your children back, guaranteed.
Thank you.
Hi, Bill.
Natasha, what's your favorite step? What step do you think is the most important?
Step four. Yes.
What is that?
It is, honestly. And step four, I guess when I first was doing step four, I was a little scared, you know, and my sponsor told me, you know what, you're a little scared, let's go back and do step three again. Yeah, you know what I mean? So we went back, worked step three again, and honestly, step four was the start of peeling back that onion. You know, it let me see what my part was and let me see what I can do to change me.
Do you have any advice on the men's process?
Oh, advice on the men's process. It's not an apology, guys. It's not an apology. my advice is to just do it, you know, to just do it and be honest. Be honest, be honest, be honest. And don't be scared. Exactly. Any more questions? What step am I on? I am actually on step nine.
I am making my amends right now. Yep.
And I'm fired up.
I love my sister, by the way.
Yes, Josh.
Can you give us like a feeling when you found out that simple change of attitude and belief in spiritual principles will change your life?
Man, that's a big one. It was almost euphoric. It was almost kind of like a light, almost like a switch went off in my head, you know, and that was it. You know, it was like a switch went off and was like, ah, that's it. You know, it was like a relief. That's all I had to do. That's all I had to do. And then from there, just so that's yeah. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, I love you.
I love you too.
Right here, I have a secret.
This program alone, I did not do it on my own. This program alone has kept me going, and it will keep me going.
I love you,
Doctor. Love you too. Is that it, guys? I can run pretty fast, you know that, baby. Yes, Alex. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Alex.
Have you had much help with that night stuff?
What do you mean? Much help?
You do it yourself?
Well, of course, yeah. I have my sponsor. And God. Let me. And that's one major thing in this program is a higher power of your own understanding. I'm not saying it has to be God for you, but for me it is. And that's what keeps me going every day. It's my higher power.
Oh, Junior.
Yes.
Hi. Thank you for tonight. Have you been invited back to a social situation that has drugs or alcohol in it?
Yes.
What did you do about it?
Actually, yes, I have. A lot of my family is still in their addictions. And you know what? I prayed, and I brought a sober friend. You was my sister. And I brought a sober friend with me, and I kept myself accountable. Yes.
You've been praying. What's your favorite prayer?
The third step prayer.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite prayer. Does complacency scare me? Nothing much really scares me anymore. Because I rely on my higher power a lot. So nothing much really scares me anymore. And if it does, I call my sponsor and I work through that. Or I look at and find it in the book, because I guarantee you can find it in the book. There's always a solution in that book, guaranteed. Shut up. Pump it up. No. Any more questions? I totally want to sit down. All right, thank you.